You know, one of the saddest words in the human language is the word hopeless. I can't think of a sadder word than the word hopeless. Guy was telling recently about how his father had passed away, and he and his sister were going through his father's possessions, and they came across his father's report card. Can you imagine that? It was from like the 1940s. It was when he was in seventh grade. And it had the typical grading system you might imagine, A, B, C, D, and F. But there was another letter on there that he'd never seen before. In fact, I've never seen it, but it was the letter G. And not that his father had this grade, but it had all the explanations of the grades. You know, F stands for failure, but G apparently was worse than F. In fact, there was a one-word explanation out beside the G, hopeless. Can you imagine a semester that wasn't just a failure, it was hopeless? Folks, I want you to know that today we celebrate a living hope. The celebration of the resurrection, the celebration of Easter is truly all about hope. We are celebrating the empty tomb of Jesus, and because of that, it gives us hope. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for people that you care about that aren't where they need to be right now. And there's ultimate hope in eternity because Jesus conquered death and hell and the grave. Nothing is hopeless. And I believe one of the most hopeful words in all of Scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. One of the greatest passages on hope is in 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's written by a man who knew exactly what we're going to talk about today. Peter was a disciple who had followed Jesus. He'd failed him miserably. He'd been restored. And he now walked in victory, not because he was so great, but because he served and knew a great God. So I want you to listen. This is in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. And this is the hope that we are celebrating today as we celebrate the resurrection. Peter writes, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Father, I thank you so much for this day that we have together and worship you and hear your word declare and celebrate the empty tomb. But God, we need to understand that this is not just a special religious day where we talk about God. It's a day that reflects the change that comes upon anyone who not only understands the facts about Jesus' resurrection, but understands and receives the Jesus that came to the cross and died and rose again to save them. Help us to hear that message loudly and clearly through your holy word today. And help me to preach your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you really believe there are no hopeless situations? Do you have hope today? Even better, do you have hope in the resurrection? Well, really, that all probably boils down to what you believe about Jesus. What you believe about Jesus and what He has done in your life will probably indicate the hope that you have today, no matter what you're facing. Peter, who was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, reflects in this passage that there are no hopeless situations for people who know Jesus and follow Him. And so there are three things that he tells us that we can have hope in and over in our lives. Number one, the resurrection gives me hope over my past. The resurrection gives me hope over my past. Peter had a checkered past, didn't he? We know that Peter had bragged to the other disciples that he would never deny the Lord. And yet a short time after that, not just once, but three times, he denied Jesus and failed him miserably. And the Bible says he wept bitterly when that rooster crowed. Now, I don't know about you, but that reminds me that my own personal history has some dark moments. There's some things that are very regrettable about my past. And you say, "Pastor, I can't believe you're the pastor of the church. How can you say something like that?" Well, don't look at me so like you're holier than thou. You all have the same thing in your life. All of us have regrets. In fact, turn to your neighbor right now and say, "You look guilty to me." Go Go ahead and do it. That's right. All of us have regrets. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Don't pile it on. All of us have regrets. All of us have remorse in our lives. I think back to some times in my life, I wish so much I could just have a do-over. I could have them back and I could do them again, but I can't. I think back to a time when I was with some high school friends of mine, and we went out to see a movie that no Christian young man should go to see. And all through that movie, I was with them and I was trying to act like I enjoyed it. But in my mind, you know, I was thinking, I saw my Sunday school teacher, a little lady that taught me when I was a child in Sunday school. And I remember her saying that Jesus is with you everywhere you go. And I knew I didn't need to be there. And then I reflect back to a time when I was a young parent. I was a parent and my children were young. And I remember just being frustrated with work and having frustrations in my car and just losing it. Where they were squirreling around in the back and just losing my temper. And just losing it with them. And I remember looking in that mirror as I was looking back at him and seeing my face and thinking, man, you are a monster. All of us have regrets. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something. There's a card that is in your bulletin today. I want you to take your card out. And this will be a little interactive today for the few minutes we have together. I want you to take that card out. And don't worry about the bottom part of that. We're going to worry about that later. But at the top of your card, I want you to write down your biggest regret. Just jot it down. The first thing, don't spend a long time, but the first thing that comes to your mind, write it down. Now, if you happen to have a nosy neighbor next to you, tell them, mind your own business and fill your own card out. No, here's a better idea. Rather than writing it out, because there's not a whole lot of room on here, maybe you could use initials and just designate it. Or like what I've written on mine, because I have something, a regret that comes to my mind, and I just wrote sin number one on my card. Maybe that's what you want to do, is just write sin number one. But all of us, we all have regrets that come to mind when we think about our past. I want you to know that we don't have to live as Christians. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to live under a cloud of regret. You see, all of us try to do something with our regrets. Did you know that? You are trying to deal with your regrets today. And you're dealing with it in one of three ways. Some of us try to rationalize our regrets. What that means is we're trying to say, well, it really wasn't that bad. It's really not a sin. You know, times have changed, and I had perfect reason for doing that. But the problem is we still have this guilty conscience. We still have this guilt feeling. We still regret the situation. So rationalization doesn't work. The second thing that people tend to do when they try to deal with regrets in their life is compare themselves to others. And maybe what you're doing today is comparing yourself to someone else you know. Well, yeah, I did that in my life maybe 5 years ago or maybe last week, but look at him. Look at her. Man, she really doesn't have it together. And we think, as long as I've done more good than bad, then that takes care of the regret. But folks, you all know that doesn't work. I know that doesn't work. It doesn't work because I still feel guilty and regretful of what I did. But there's a third thing you can do. And it's what I highly recommend. You can repent from it, which means to turn away from it. You can confess it. And you can receive God's free gift of grace. That's what Easter is all about. That's what the cross was all about. At the cross, Jesus, who had no regret, took our regrets on himself. And I love what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Listen to verses 13 and 14. He traded his no regret for our regrets. It says, and when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him. And he forgave us of all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt by nailing it to a cross. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me because I certainly have some regret in my life. This is a calculator I keep by my desk, keep my desk drawer. And again, I'm a pastor, but I do sin in my life every day of my life. And really, I sin probably at least 3 times a day. In fact, 3 would probably be a pretty good day for me. And so I got to thinking about that, and I thought, if I sin 3 times a day times 365, that's almost 1,100 sins a year. And again, that's on a good day, so it's probably more than that. And I'm going to be 50 years old on my next birthday. So I can plug in a 50 by that. That means that this pastor, this guy that you look up to as your spiritual leader, has sinned almost 55,000 times in his life. But you know what the Bible tells me? What the gospel tells me, because of Easter, because Jesus rose again, I don't have to live under a cloud of regret. My sins are forgiven. And today you are surrounded by people who have experienced the same thing. Their sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Jesus forgave all the sin of my past. But not only that, because Jesus rose from the grave, it's never too late to start over again. Isn't that great news? It's never too late to start over again. You know, Peter must have thought after he denied Christ that it was over. There was no point in him going back into ministry because he had failed to the point that God could never use him again. He'd failed miserably. That just reminds me there's two lies that Satan constantly whispers in your ear and in my ear. Did you know that? There's two things that Satan lies to everyone. The first one is, go ahead and do it. One little sin won't matter. Go ahead and do it. And the second one quickly follows when you listen to him and do the first one. It's, now look what you've done. Forget it. You're finished. How can a God like God love someone like you? But because Jesus rose from the grave, Peter says, I have a living hope. I have a new birth. And nothing is finished. In fact, I have a clean slate. Jesus wipes this clean. The all clear button is it. And I start with a fresh slate because of Jesus and his resurrection. And so because Jesus rose from the grave, my failure doesn't have to be final. You may think, man, I failed. There's no point in going on. You know what I'd say to you? Get up and try again. Get up and stay after it. Get up, because God certainly used Peter in a mighty way. Remember how Jesus restored Peter? And when Peter began to walk with Jesus again, forgiven and cleansed of his failure and sin, he had a wonderful, amazing life. In fact, he began to preach again. And Peter's first two sermons were more successful than all the sermons he preached beforehand. He saw 5,000 people saved in his first sermon and 3,000 saved in his second sermon. Man, that's pretty good. I'd take that on any given Sunday, any given week. You see, what I'm trying to say is Peter came to realize that the resurrection gave him hope over his past. And I hope you realize that today. That's why we're celebrating the hope today, because you have hope over a checkered past. But not only that, the Bible teaches me that the resurrection gives me hope in the present. Because Jesus rose from the grave and he's alive today, I have hope in my present circumstances and situations. How many of you have difficulty in your life today? How many of you say, man, I've got a difficult situation today that is really causing me trouble? And if I really look at that and I really get focused on that, I'm kind of like Peter when he was walking on the water. I take my eyes off Jesus and all my surroundings and I begin to sink. Some of us are really scared and really worried about our present. But here's the thing. Whether you're trapped in a hopeless marriage, whether you've tried everything and it just seems to get worse and worse and worse, or whether you're trapped in a hopeless career and you can't seem to make ends meet, and month after month you come up a little bit short, or whether you have a hopeless health problem and the doctor says it's terminal and you don't know what you're going to do, much less what your family's going to do, and things just keep getting worse, or you have a hopeless situation with a wayward child, a prodigal that's left home and he's not coming back anytime soon, we have hope in our present because of the power of God. You see, here's what your hope, you can pin your hope on. If Jesus really rose from the dead, first of all, if he really died, which we believe he did, and he stayed dead, and God rose him from the dead, then God can do anything. Now, if God didn't raise him from the dead, forget about all this that I'm saying, because none of it applies. But if it's true, we have a living hope. We have a living hope in Christ Jesus. And so what I'm understanding as I read this is that God is greater than anything I'm dealing with, right? If he conquered death and hell and the grave through Jesus and his resurrection, then there's nothing I face that God isn't big enough to handle. I want you to write something else on your card. Now, you guys that are math majors will know how to do this, but I want you to write the greater than sign. After your sin, I want you to write greater than. Just put a greater than. You know that symbol. greater than. Because the fact of the matter is God is greater than whatever it is you're going through in your life right now. You can have victory over that because God is greater than whatever it is you face. And here's how I know that. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, they're going to put it up on the screen. It says, John writes this, "You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So that's why you've got that greater than symbol on your communication card today. What that means is God is greater than your greatest challenge. Whatever you're challenged by today, God is greater than that challenge. Secondly, God is greater than your greatest disappointment. What is it that has really hurt you? Something that is really causing you today to be bitter or anxious, or you just can't get by it or get over it. God is greater than your biggest disappointment or your biggest hurt. Thirdly, God is greater than your greatest fear. What are you terrified of? There's something in your life that you just can't face, or something in your future that you can't face. God is greater than your greatest fear. You know, I really believe that's why Paul had so much courage. You all know that I love Paul. I'm amazed by Paul and his testimony of how he lived his life. And Paul was a man who flat out had some courage. I mean, what are you going to do with a guy like Paul? The guys would come to him and they'd threaten him. They'd say, "If you don't stop preaching about Jesus, we're going to beat you and whip you." He'd say, "So what? Been done to me many times before." Then they'd come back and they'd say, "Man, if you don't quit sharing your faith, we're going to throw you in prison, bud." He'd say, "Which prison? I've won a lot of people to Jesus in prison before." And they'd say, "Well, Paul, if you don't shut up, we're just going to kill you." He'd say, "That's fine. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." You see, Paul understood something very key, and he had made it intrinsic in his heart. He understood the fact that God is greater than any situation. We serve a living God, a living Savior, and we serve a sovereign God who is over all and above all and can work through all. So here's my message. Maybe somebody, you may have come here just to hear these words today. No matter what junk you face in your life today, the resurrection means you can have hope. You can always have hope. So the resurrection tells me I can have hope over my past. The resurrection tells me I can have hope in my present. And the resurrection tells me that I can have hope for the future. Look at what he says here. Back in the passage in verse 4, he says that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What does Peter mean by this word inheritance? What is an inheritance? Most all of us know what that is. An inheritance is something you receive when somebody dies. You see, when Jesus died, he remembered you in his will. That's a good way to look at it. And he has promised you an inheritance that you are going to receive. And the inheritance that he is leaving you, according to Peter, is imperishable, incorruptible, and unfading. Those are the words that Peter used to describe the inheritance that you're going to receive. So what that means is that we can live this life, no matter how uncertain, how difficult it is, knowing that we have an inheritance that is eternal. We have an eternal inheritance. We can live this life knowing that our inheritance is certain. Nothing can take it away from us. You know, we may have money invested in the stock market, in a retirement fund, and we may see that go up and go down, and go up and then go down again, and it's uncertain. We may see our business do well for a period of time, and we may see our business not do so well. We may see a lot of things in this life, really everything in this life is uncertain. But we have a certainty in our future home in heaven. That's what Peter says. And thirdly, we can live our lives down here knowing that our inheritance is unchanging. So many things change in this life, but the inheritance that God has promised through the resurrection of Christ is unchanging. I read a story recently about a 17-year-old girl who had been in a wheelchair from the time that she was 7 years old. Turns out that her mom was driving one night, and it was kind of a rainy, wet night, and she was driving around a curve, and she sneezed. And when she sneezed, she lost control of the car, and the car ultimately struck a tree. And the little girl was paralyzed from the waist down. But at 17 years of age, this bold little girl, who understands this living hope that I'm preaching about today, gave a message similar to the Apostle Paul. She was giving her testimony in a church one night, and this is what she said. "I'm in a wheelchair now, but there's coming a day when I'm parking it outside the pearly gates, and I'm walking through the pearly gates to meet Him." Folks, that's a living hope. And no matter what it is you have to struggle through or go through in this life, you have a living hope when you know Jesus Christ. Praise God, death is defeated, evil is vanquished, and everybody who believes in Jesus Christ will live in the presence of God forever. Folks, Easter changes everything. But there's one final question I have today, is do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? Because that's really the bottom line today. The hope that I'm talking about, there's no question it can change your past. Your past and all the mistakes can be wiped away. And it can change your present. The things you're going through right now in your life, because God is greater than anything that you face. And it can change your future. Because even though death is hard, and we worry about death, and we're scared about it, and we don't have to worry anymore. That reminds me, I got to tell you this story. I saw this, and I got to tell you that this is a joke. But this is a story about death and how we fear it. There was a man from Illinois, and he decided that he'd had enough of the cold, snowy winter in Illinois, and he was going to Florida. And so he went on a vacation to Florida, and his wife was on a business trip, and she was going to meet him like a day later in Florida. So he gets down there, and he gets on the computer there, and he says, "I better send her an email. Just tell her I arrived safely, and I'm looking forward to seeing her." And so, but he couldn't remember her email address. You guys ever have that happen? That's why we have smartphones, right? So we can remember our wives' email address and all that important stuff. Well, anyway, he got off. He typed her a nice message, and he sent it, but he was off by one letter. And the message never got to his wife. Instead, it came to a grieving widow who had just lost her husband the day before. And so she was grieving, and so she checked her email on her computer at home, and when she read the message he sent, she fainted. I mean, she screamed and fainted, and all of her family was still there with her in the house, and so they ran in to see what was wrong, see what had happened, and they knew immediately when they read the screen. This is what it said. "Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband." Then this is what he put at the end. He put, "P.S. It sure is hot down here." See, I told you it was worth it. I had to bring that one up. But Peter says this, "He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." I don't know where you are today in your life, but I do know this. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a living hope. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, your life really is hopeless. Now, you may be putting your hope in certain things, certain people, certain talents or abilities you have, but true hope, living hope, comes only through Jesus Christ. And so what I have today for you, something a little bit different than we've done before, but I want you to please do this. I want you to take your card and I want you to take a look at it. You see, true hope is simply a prayer away. And if you've heard what I said today and you want that slate wiped clean, you want these sins cleared out. How'd they get up to 69,000? My goodness. You can have hope today. You can be forgiven today. But you need to pray a prayer like this. And I want you to get very serious right now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, as a matter of fact. And this card says, "I have chosen to place all my trust in Jesus." What are you placing your trust in today? What is your hope in today? You need to pray a prayer like this if you don't have a living hope in Jesus. If you've never been saved, you need to pray this prayer that's on this card. It needs to reflect what's in your heart. I believe that His death on the cross made payment for my sins. And Jesus, I believe that Your resurrection promises me new life. Therefore, Jesus, I repent of my sins and I receive You as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and save me. I make You the Lord of my life. And when you pray that prayer, that's the living hope that we have. That's when new life begins, the new birth that Paul writes about. And so below that, you have on your card, my Easter response. And you're going to have a time just in a moment here during this invitation to come forward and publicly respond to what God is doing in your heart. And I would love nothing more than for you to come up, because the Bible says we're not to be ashamed. If we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, we're not to be ashamed to tell others or let others know that He is our Savior and that we are identifying with Him or following Him. So if today is the day that you've asked Jesus into your life, check that top box. But maybe you're here today and you've been saved, but you just needed to hear this message to know that I don't have to live under a cloud of regret in my past. I don't have to let my past define me. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. And what you've done today is you have recommitted your life. There was a time you got away from God, but today you are recommitting your life to Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead. And that's box number two. The third box is about placing your membership here. You see, we're first of all believers in Jesus, but a Christian is second of all a belonger. He belongs or she belongs to a body of believers. And so if you need to know more about how to become a member at Hillcrest, or you want to become a member, that's box number three. Box number four is about baptism. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you've been saved recently. You've made a decision to trust Christ, but you've never been baptized. You see, baptism is just where you publicly identify with Jesus and you say, I am now a follower of Christ. I'm changed because of what Jesus did on the cross and what He is doing inside me. And so baptism shows people that you are a believer or a follower of Jesus. And maybe you need to know more about baptism or follow in what we call believer's baptism, which is one of the ways we're obedient to Jesus after we're saved. Whatever it is, my question to you today is, what is your Easter response to Him? We need to respond to Him as He speaks to us. Today is the day. Don't put it off. There's not a better day than today to follow Jesus Christ and to do what He's asking you to do. Lord Jesus, I love You so much. And I'm so thankful that You have cleansed us of all our sins, even sin number one. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for restoring me. And even though I have a checkered past, Lord, I have a hope. I can deal with what I'm going through in the present, and I have a bright future because You're my Lord and my Savior. Thank You that You spoke to me when I was 8 years old as a boy, and You touched my heart, and You convicted me of my sins. And thank You that when I came to You, You answered my prayer. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray that You would deal with the hearts that are in this service today. We have had a sweet, sweet service worshiping You and singing to You. We've heard the gospel and we've heard about the hope that the resurrection brings. Now I just pray that we would confirm that and do what You're calling and asking us to do, whatever that looks like. And we give You glory in advance because of Your honor and because of who You are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.